Such a good, good Father to us, Lord. Such a good, good, good healer, lover, father, redeemer, firm foundation. You are so much, Lord. I can't say the words to explain how awesome you are to us, God. Father, your presence is here. We invite you in. We thank you. Holy Spirit, you have free will to rule and reign in this place, to minister to the hearts of your people, Lord, to your women. Lord Jesus, you are here, and we thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done over the last 7 weeks, Father. And we are humbled at your feet, God. We want the kind of intimacy that Mary had, Lord. Not the benefits of having you around, but the heart of you in our lives, Father. That we may work this thing out with you, Lord, at your feet, in humility, in humbleness of heart, God. We thank you so much for your feet and that we can sit there. There is nothing like having direction from the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In a world that is so dark, we are given a promise from God saying that He will light our way. He will give us a lamp so that we know where to turn, where we know where to walk, where we know what to say, where we know what to do. And Father, I thank you for that gift. I thank you that there is not darkness with your children, that there is light, and that you light the path of righteousness for us to walk into. Lord, that we may see your lit path in our life, that we may see the lighted path in our life, Lord, that you have given us according to your word, Father. We thank you so much for the beautiful worship that we got to experience this morning, Lord. Thank you for Michelle and Tom. Blessings upon them. Lord, just continue to pour into them as they pour out on your body, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for who you are, and we give you all the glory. This is your stage, and you have free will. In Jesus' mighty and precious, amazing name, Jesus, amen. 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 Wow. Was I not right? Wasn't that beautiful? It just makes it so easy to enter into worship. Yes. Michelle, you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back. We were blessed. So blessed. Thank you, Tom. Tom, your playing was so beautiful. Hey, Michelle can't do what she does unless you do what you do. Amen. Once again, if you came in during worship and you experienced that beautiful worship, Michelle has a CD in the back that she just released. It's amazing. Love it. They're $8. If you'll just place that in that box and you can grab yourself one or grab your neighbor one, it really, really will take you into the presence of the Lord. It has blessed me so much. Can you believe we're on the last day? No. It happened so fast. Keep it going, yeah. You got to tell the Lord that He's got to keep providing the words. Well, God is so good.
We're chatty, very, very chatty today.
Yeah, a little bit chatty today. Ladies, we're a little bit chatty. It's okay. It's the donuts. The sugar and caffeine. That will get your motor going. That's beautiful. Well, I'm going to give y'all a second. What is better? And it's gone. Did you put your name down? Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what? I took it. I'll give it to you.
You took it? No, I did too, so.
Y'all are fine. Yes, yeah. No. No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, you're fine. We're good. Okay. All right, I gave y'all enough time. We're starting this morning. I actually do make a CD of this teaching. If you want it, I will mail it to you, but you have to provide your address back there so I can mail it to you. If you go to Riverside, then you don't need to. I'll just have them with me. You come find me and I'll hand it to you. But if you don't go to Riverside, I do not mind mailing them to you. They're like a dollar. So it's the Word of God is worth so much more than that. So going forth. So, All right, well, I'm excited about today's study. Today's study, did everyone grab a paper? You're going to want your paper today. There's kind of a lot of questions on there. You might have to write on a separate paper. I didn't give y'all much space today. The title of today's message is A Rare Jewel, The Process of Rarity in Our Lives. When a jewel is found, or when a precious stone is found, rarely is there ever a stone that's first found that is without imperfection and impurities, right? We don't ever find a perfect stone in the rock. It just doesn't happen. But the stone, ladies, is still, come on, this is for someone this morning. The stone is still worth so much and is beneficial and beautiful in the hands of the one who discovered it. Come on, the first question on your paper is, what would be your thought if you found a precious stone, a diamond? Even though it's ugly at first, when you see them, they're like dirty and they're cloudy, and it's not like it is in the jewelry store, right? But you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about, oh my goodness, I can't believe I found this thing. This thing is gonna change my life. Come on, that's your thought, right? I might get me out of some debt. I'm gonna get me a new car. I don't know what you're thinking. But you're like, this thing is gonna change my life. And it's this unattractive kind of thing, right? But in the one who holds it, it is so beautiful and it has so much value. It has gone, before it goes through this process of transformation, in the world of jewelry making, the more imperfections a stone has, right? Who here has ever shopped for jewelry? Okay, so y'all are going to know this. In the world of jewelry, the more imperfections there are and impurities in the stone, the more valuable it is, right? The more valuable it is. And that's kind of the ending thing. That's when it's in the store. But this is what y'all got to remember. This is not the beginning of the stone. This is not the beginning of the stone. The stone's life, it does not start here. It goes through a process of refinement. It is cut. It was interesting reading about this. The process, this stone goes through some stuff before it is given as a beautiful gift in a beautiful little black box, you know, that says he got it at Jared's. It goes through some stuff before it gets to that place. It goes through, it is cut, it's burned, it's refined, it's polished, it's cleaned, it's cut some more, till it is ready to be placed in a box as a gift to somebody else. Come on, ladies. The more I learned and studied the process of a rare and precious jewel or stone, the more God began to speak to me about the spiritual walk in our lives. How so similar, there's so much similarity happening in this place. And this is where we begin our story this morning. The meaning of the word rarity means not found in large numbers. I'm going to say that again. The word rarity means not found in large numbers, having value. I want to tell y'all something very important this morning that you need to hear. There is a process of rarity in each one of you. There is something in each one of y'all's lives that is rare, that is not found in anybody else. There is something valuable. There is something beautiful inside of you that God holds and says, this is going to change everything. There is a rarity. There is a beauty waiting to be exposed in your life this morning. And this is where we begin. Turn to Matthew. Today's scripture is very short, but very profound. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The first gospel of the New Testament. Matthew 13. We're going to the end, 45 and 46. Here we go. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Okay, I just want to read this again because I just want this to just sink into your spirit this morning so we can really lay the foundation of what God wants to say. And I want to lay my foundation on the word, not on my words. Are you ready? 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything. Everything he had, his house, his car, his land, everything. He got rid of everything that was comfortable to him for this pearl. Going on. And he bought it. All right, ladies, we're going to start right off this morning with some amazing treasure. Are you ready? Because this is going to really blast you in the face. I'm serious. It really is. It did me. Every time I've studied this, I was like a wave. Ooh! Oh, my goodness. When a pearl is found, the merchant gave up everything for it, bought it. Come on, ladies. When Jesus saw you, he left his throne and he bought you with a great price. This is a bigger story here this morning. The merchant is Jesus. He left his throne. He left his seat of comfort. He left where the angels praised him. He left that place that was beautiful and perfect and sinless and awesome and splendid and wonderful because he saw rarity and beauty in each one of you and said that you were worth it. You were worth it. You were worth it. There is uniqueness inside of you. And he said, I will buy you. I will give my life. I will go through sacrifice. Every lash that he experienced, he saw it in you. Come on, ladies. He saw it in you. Every wound that he experienced, he saw something in you. The lashes, the piercing, the insults, the thrusting of the pierced side, the spitting, the beating, everything he endured, he was looking at you. And saw it and said, it's worth it. It's worth it. If I don't preach anything else this morning, I just preach the gospel. This is why we're here, to celebrate and grow into what Jesus saw in us when he hung on the cross. The rareness and the beauty. Now, we're going somewhere. Don't you, come on, ladies. Don't you want to see what he saw and still sees in you? Don't you want to see the rarity and beauty of what he did on the cross? Don't you want to see that in your life? That he experienced all the things that he went through for you. Don't you want to see what he saw and that he gave his life for? The uniqueness of who you are in his eyes. Not what the world sees in you and what they see in you, what God sees, because he sees the innermost heart. He sees it. He sees it. And he gave his life. Oh, I could just stay here for 30 minutes and just talk about this over and over and over and over again till y'all just really get what I'm talking about here this morning. There is a rareness and there is a uniqueness in each one of you. And God is saying, it's time. It's time to polish that thing up so that I can place you in a box and give you as a gift to my body. There is beauty in you. I want to talk about the process and the formation of the pearl this morning, because Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. So we want to talk about the process and the formation of the pearl and the rareness of what it is. What bring the beauty of the pearl? What bring the value of the pearl? What does the merchant saw that I don't see and that others don't see around me? Come on. Because it's not just us that's trying to see it. Others perhaps are not seeing it. And a lot of it is because we are not seeing it. Therefore, we have no way to open ourselves up for others to see it. We got to see it ourselves first. A pearl is rare. We're going, starting with number one. A pearl is rare because it is not found in a rock. It is not buried under the ground. It is not hidden in a cave. It is not found in a treasure box under the sea. It is not found by SpongeBob. I don't know why that just came out. It did. I don't know what goes on up here. But it is the only jewel that is found and formed by a biological process. It is the only stone and jewel that is formed by a biological process. Its uniqueness lies in that it is the only jewel found inside a living thing. Come on, you know that sounds like us. It is the only jewel found inside a living thing, but I really want you to understand the ending of what I just said, okay? The Bible says, or actually not the Bible, the information says that it is found inside a living thing. So, not a dead thing. Not a numb thing. Not a sleeping thing. A living thing. Ladies, a living thing. Say a living thing. A living thing. And I think the problem is the rarity that we just can't see the jewel in us. It's because we are walking around a little bit like the walking dead. Come on. Like, maybe not on the outside, but on the inside, we're just like, has anyone ever seen The Walking Dead? Yeah. Raise your hand. It's okay. I watch it too sometimes. Okay, good. Okay, so the whole idea is that they seriously walk around with no direction, right? They just walk around waiting for the next kill, right? Seriously, they're walking around just in circles. No interaction, no connection, just walking around aimlessly, no direction, nothing, no future, nothing. They're just waiting and walking around for the next big kill. Come on, I know someone here feels like that's what they're doing spiritually in their life. They're just walking around, no direction. I feel nothing. I feel like I'm just waiting for the next big thing to happen in my life. And you're dead. Walking around with no purpose, just waiting for something to happen. The first thing we need to understand about seeing this beauty and rarity is that we have to come alive, ladies. We have to come alive. We have got to come alive. We have got to awaken ourselves from our dead walk that we get stuck in. The Bible says in Romans 13:11, and I put this on your notes. Put this on your notes. Romans 13:11 says, the hour has come for you, not for your neighbor, not for your grandma, not for your spouse. Come on, because we know we're so worried about everybody else's spiritual growth, right? Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the hour has come for you to awaken out of your slumber. I love that verse. It's time. now, today, this moment, awaken yourself out of the death walk you've got stuck in. I don't know if you have to just spiritually proclaim it, physically proclaim it. Say, I'm a living sacrifice for God, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Awaken it so the beauty can form in your life. Wow. Wow. The beauty can't be seen unless we first awaken ourselves, because it is found in a living thing, a living, alive thing in our life. We got to quit hitting the snooze alarm. It's so easy in this world to hit the snooze alarm and say, God, just 10 more minutes, just 10 more minutes, just 10 more years, and I promise I'll get it together. God's saying, my grace is sufficient for you now. Just trust me. Just awaken yourself and follow me. It will be greater than the 10 minutes of snoozing that you keep giving yourself. Come on, tell your neighbor to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Come alive. Beauty is found in life. Beauty is found in life. There is no product that can form on your body and be and give you the beauty. It's found in life. We got to awaken. We got to awaken ourselves. We got to awaken ourselves. Awaken. A pearl's beginning starts when a foreign substance slips into the oyster. Come on, now I'm talking biological, so follow me here. A pearl's beginning starts when a foreign substance slips into the oyster between the mantle and the shell, which irritates the mantle. Irritates the mantle. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Ladies, you mean to tell me that beauty is formed with a little irritation in my life? And not with a spa day? Not with new shoes? Not with my $100 creams? Not with the Miracle-Gro pill that makes me lose 20 pounds? Beauty is found in irritation? What? I got it all wrong. Come on. Beauty is found with a little bit of irritation in our lives. If we grow according to what the Bible tells us in John 15, the process of beauty in a plant is pruning, 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 pruning. When you allow yourself to be pruned, a little cut back, a little irritated, a little bit, it causes you to grow to full bloom, full maturity. Sometimes we settle so much for like this kind of tree, because we don't want to go through a little pruning in our lives. And we're like, okay with this. But then we wonder why no one wants to pick our fruit. Bloom. Cut back. What I love about pruning is that it is temporary. No one stays pruned 24/7. You're not constantly losing a limb. It's a small, temporary process for the bigger picture in your life. It's a small season for the spring and summer. Biologists say when this happens in the oyster, it's like a splinter that's kind of happened in there. And as I read that, it reminded me of Paul's confession when he says, God, please remove this thorn in my side. It is so irritating. It is horrible. I can't stand it. Please remove it. The thorn, the splinter, whatever the irritation is in your life. And God completely tells him and says, I'm not going to remove it, because this thorn is going to exhibit my grace over you. It's going to show that it's not in your strength that you are healed and that you are whole and that you can do what you're called to do. It's going to show that it's in my strength and in my strength alone that can do you're called to do. A thorn. His grace. In your weakness, he is made strong. There is grace, ladies, for your irritations. Come on. There is grace for your irritations in life. There is a strength for the weakness in your life. There is a sufficiency for whatever the splinter has caused. Ooh. The oyster naturally reacts to the splinter by covering it, covering this irritated place to protect itself. Wow, this is so cool. This is so us. I mean, this oyster, I mean, this pearl thing, I mean, this is like literally, no wonder God was like, this is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, you're right. This is the kingdom of heaven. The oyster naturally reacts by covering the irritant to protect itself. This is natural. We do this when we're hurt, right? Cover, protect, band-aid, it's all good, right? Hurt, pain, exposed, that's okay. I'll just cover it and everything will be okay, right? Covering it is not the wrong thing to do. It's what you choose to cover it with is where you'll get into healing or you'll continue the irritation in your life. Come on, ladies. That's good stuff right there. You can cover it with anything. So just get this picture with me because this was kind of what came to me last night. We get a scrape, an open wound. We have a choice to cover it with anything, right? We can pick anything we want. We can put some grass on there, some hay. There's lots of things that can cover, right? But will that promote healing on my wound? Come on, let's think here this morning. I can pick anything. I can put a cup on there. There's lots of things that can cover in this world. A lot of things that can band-aid. But what is the thing that will bring healing? Because that is what we want to put on to cover the irritations in our life. What brings healing in our life? Because we so naturally want to pick the quickest and the easiest and the less painful thing, right? What do you mean I don't want to have the surgery and fix it all? Just give me a band-aid and some pills. I'll be good, right? But in the long term, it doesn't heal. It doesn't heal. It doesn't bring healing. We can't cover hurt with things the world says brings beauty. Bottom line, we have to cover with love, grace, time in its presence, cover with humility, that's a big one, repentance, forgiveness to others that you need to release in your life, cover with worship, with intimacy, with time in his presence. You got to cover with the things that heal in your life. Cover with the things that bring healing and restoration and potential and growth in your life. We got to cover with these things. You'll know what you're using to cover hurt when real beauty is not produced out of it. You'll know what you're using in your life to cover hurt when nothing comes from it, when no growth, no healing, nothing produced. You'll know what it is. Because I'm going to tell you, if you cover with what God gives you, there will be growth and there will be healing in your life. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. We got to watch our covering. We got to watch our covering. What does the oyster use to cover? What does Jesus try to tell us through the oyster's biological process of healing and formation of this rare pearl that happens in this time of distress? Come on, the oyster wasn't born with the pearl inside of it. It was formed. Yes, it had everything in it to form correctly, but it didn't grow. It wasn't born with this thing in it. It formed out of this process. What does it use? The mantle of the oyster covers the irritant with layers of a substance called nacre. I know, this is crazy. That's what it's called. And that is how the pearl is eventually formed, by the mantle that keeps secreting this substance into the internal organs of the oyster, and the more layers of whatever the mantle keeps secreting into the inside of this thing, the pearl begins to form. Whoo! Wow. Ladies, this is so cool. So, what is mantle? What is the mantle? Well, in the natural, mantle is, the definition of mantle in the natural is, an important role or responsibility that passes from one person to another. Have you ever heard spiritually, like the mantle was placed on them? Like Elijah laid his hands on Elisha and he received his mantle of anointing. Sometimes in the spiritual world, mantle means taking the responsibility and anointing of one person and laying hands on this person to continue to do that work. Mantle is also used as something that is used in a focal point in your house that is used to hold up things that mean a lot to you. A mantle has a lot of responsibility and a lot of different meanings. In the oyster, though, the mantle is, are you ready? The principal role in formation of the oyster. Okay? And it is what secretes this substance to cover the oyster's splinters and produce a pearl. Wow. So the mantle passes responsibility to the inside of the oyster, creating this pearl. Y'all kind of get where I'm going this morning? The oyster, the mantle, passes its responsibility to the inside of the oyster, creating the pearl. You mean whatever I allow to protect me, cover me, is what secretes into my innermost being? Yes. Yes. Whatever you allow to cover you, to protect you, to come over you, is what will secrete into your innermost being. And if it's God, you will get a God formation that comes out of you. If it's the world, you will get the world and the flesh come out of you. If it's sickness, then you will allow sickness and disease to come out of you. Come on, ladies. God is the mantle. He wants to secrete himself into your innermost being. This is what it's all about. This is where rarity and beauty and treasure is found and happens. When you allow him to secrete himself, as you allow him to cover you in all these things, he secretes himself into our innermost being. Wow. I am speechless with the magnitude and power of our God, literally. As I read this, I was speechless at the amazing power and the direction and the light and the lamp that it is to our feet, the Word of God. Wow. Wow. When are you going to let him in? When are you going to let him cover you? When are you going to let him make himself known to you? Let him in and see what happens. Let him in. Just give him a piece. Just say, I don't know where to start, God, but I know I want to produce and see the rarity and the beauty that you saw on the cross because you gave your life for whatever it is you see in me. Don't you want to see it? Don't you want to walk in it? Don't you want to be in the black box at Jared's? Come on. Don't you want to be the priceless jewel, the gift to somebody and to his kingdom and to the body of Christ because you allowed God to secrete his amazing love and power and grace into your innermost being and transform you into the pearl and to the jewel that you are in his kingdom. Wow. I can only tell you it will be for greater good in your life. It will be for greater good in your life. One more time. It will benefit you. It will be a blessing to you. It will be for greater good. Greater good. His covering is a gift and a treasure. But treasure is beneficial not just to you, but treasure can bless many people. Many, many people, ladies. Many people. Just let him in. Just let him in. Just let him in. Just let him in. Isaiah 61 is a powerful chapter in the Bible on healing and the process of growing and purity and is a huge piece, I think, in everything that we've studied so far. It's actually what I was going to teach on next week. I was going to really kind of, we were going to go piece by piece on this. But I feel like I'm to leave it with y'all to study on your own. But there's a couple verses that I really want to point out to you real quickly before we finish and get into our small groups. In this verse that I feel like is huge for our healing this morning. Amen? Isaiah 61 and verse 2 says, "You comfort my mourning and you provide healing when I grieve in Zion." God says that he comforts the areas. He covers the areas where we have splinters. Amen? He comforts my mourning. He comforts. He gives me what I need in my time of distress. He gives it to me. This is a scripture that says that God does this in your life. And he gives me the healing when I am hurting in life. "You, Father, and you alone have given me beauty instead of ashes." Beauty instead of ashes. Whatever your ashes are, speak it out in your intimate place with God. God, you give me beauty for depression. You give me beauty instead of hurt. You give me beauty instead of suicidal thoughts. You give me beauty instead of sickness. You give me beauty. This is your word, and your word is your will. Beauty instead of your ashes in your life. He says the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Anytime the Bible mentions oil, you need to take note. It means anointing. He gives you anointing instead of mourning. Sometimes we got to take our faith into action, get you some oil, put it on your head, and say gladness for sadness today. Gladness for sadness. None of that. Gladness for sadness. Sometimes you got to take these things into action. He gives you an anointing of gladness. Ooh, to have an anointing of gladness in the kind of world that we live in is a precious, amazing thing. Do you agree? Amen. Wow. He gives a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I think it's very interesting that he talks about, that Isaiah talks about, that it's a garment. Garment. Praise is a garment, which means it's something we have to choose to put on every day. Amen? And after a while, as we teach ourselves to put this thing on, it's very naturally to get up in the morning and want to put clothes on, right? We don't tend to want to just be naked all the time. We develop habits, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. A piece of clothing that you choose to put on every single day. Now, I want to take note of the words that are spoken here. It says a spirit of despair. A spirit of despair. Now, I'm not going to sit here and go into mental illness and those kind of things and depression and that kind of stuff, because there is chemical imbalances and we do need medicine. Medicine is a great, great, great thing. But I'm going to tell you, along with the physical, there is always the spiritual. They go hand in hand. And the Bible says that it is a spirit of despair that oppresses you. And you got to speak to that spirit and say, no more, no longer. The blood of Jesus is over me. It is in me, it's around me, and it is through me. I will not take your punches anymore. I've got a garment of praise instead of this spirit of heaviness. And you know why I can say this? This is truth this morning. Because as the Lord began to give this to me yesterday afternoon, and I began to write it out, I left my house and this spirit of despair came over me. I literally was driving in my car and I just felt such a heaviness and a sadness, and I knew that it was the enemy and that it was a spirit trying to come in and destroy what God had already planted in my heart. I did not feel that all day long, and I don't feel that every day of my life. There are seasons we go through with times where we do have a heaviness that we carry. But I knew that I knew that I knew that God had given me a treasure, because the enemy was trying to steal it. It was a spirit, and as I immediately recognized it and said, I don't think so, go back to the pit of hell where you came from. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. I am a child of the Most High, and I will not put on your spirit. I will put on oil for gladness and a garment of praise. And that thing left like that. Immediately, my spirit was like, phew. Now, I didn't see shadows, and I didn't hear, you know? It was all happening inside me. Because it's a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Amen. Yeah. Verse 4. God, you will help me rebuild the past of destruction and restore the places long devastated. This is desired right here. The past, the places I've walked in, the places where I've been walking in lack of understanding and issues of my past. You, according to your word in Isaiah 61, says that you will rebuild this past of destruction and restore the places that have been long devastated in my life. No longer will I be a product of desire in the cursed version of it, but I will walk in the freedom of the cross, and my daughters will walk in the freedom of the cross, and my daughter-in-laws will walk in the freedom of the cross, and every generation and there and thereforth will walk in the promise of the cross and the freedom that it provides. Let him do it, ladies. Let him in. Let him secrete his substance into you. Let him in. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. May it just manifest into these people's life. Lord Jesus, just bless them. Bless these women. Give them an incredible summer in your presence, God. Lord, give them a spiritual understanding that they can just cling to and walk in and be a blessing to other people, because treasure is a gift to so many. The benefits of treasure can bless lots and lots and lots of people. Lord, that they may see the rarity and the beauty inside them. That they may would desire to go through the process to see that beauty. That we will come alive and desire you, Jesus, first and foremost. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your truth. Blessings upon these women. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies. Blessings, blessings to you. If you're on the email list, you will get an email sometime this summer talking about fall study, when it starts, what it's going to be about. God's already beginning to write it, so I'm excited about that. I think you'll be blessed. Please stay. We have so many treats, and I want you to meet in your small groups. I feel like this is important for us to end with some ministry. So please don't scurry out of here. Come and sit with the groups. They're a blessing. There's a lot of spiritual insight happening in these places. Thank you. Thanks, Amanda. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Ooh, my phone's sweaty.